The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Tuesday, the 8th day of September 2020. And joining us from God's waiting room, or is that God's biggest sandbar, in Florida, Steve Elkins.
Hey, I like sandbar.
You like sandbar?
Yeah, sounds good.
How are you?
Good. It was a productive weekend. Still tired, beat up, but that's good, you know. Got to get stuff done. I wish I could snap my fingers, it'd all be done, but it's just not possible.
Well, subtract 30 years from your age, and you probably wouldn't be all bent over today.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right.
Well, you've gone through some health problems down there, and It looks like those are behind you.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know where to start here today, Steve.
Well, I listened to the first hour, so.
Yeah.
Good. I actually would like to have asked Harley a question of Donald Trump. He's so knowledgeable. He's a sharp guy.
Why didn't Donald Trump
tackle the election fraud? I sure wish he would have done that.
Well, we have, 56 days until election?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
56 days.
Well. Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen, John? I've been thinking about this a lot and seeing the hints from Kamala Harris and Joe Biden saying more riots are coming, more unrest is coming. I think they're correct. I think if Trump wins, I think we might see a race war. I think we might see one.
I don't think so. I beg to differ with you, because the majority of black people are sitting back. And, yeah, Black Lives Matter, bringing the plight of the blacks, you know, to light in America. You know, that was a nice thing to do. But then they discovered that Black Lives Matter and Antifa were there to hijack what was going on in this country under thin circumstances to begin with, okay? But there's a lot of people that voted for Donald Trump. There was a lot of Democrats that voted last time for Donald Trump. They see what's going on. They know that the BLM and Antifa, that's not legitimate. Trump has been very restrained in what he's been doing. He's been telling the city mayors and the state governors, look, if you need help, just call. Well, this is starting to play out, and it's not playing out well for those that enabled this. So we have a lot of people in this country who've got the... To me, Steve, it couldn't have been scripted any better. Let these idiots keep running their mouths. Let the videos keep surfacing of these supposed Black Lives Matter people in this country just acting like absolute fools. And established blacks, if I can use that term, in this country are looking at this and going, I'm not part of that. I don't think they're as strong as, and again, here's the perception. The perception is, that's been crafted for everybody's indoctrination purpose, it's not as it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, the systemic racism is not there.
No,
it's that
not.
Inner city. John, it's that inner city I'm worried about. The inner cities, the black inner cities, where that element of this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to enrich yourself. I'm worried about those elements in those inner cities.
Why
That's
are you worried?
What I'm worried
why
about.
Are you worried?
Well, I think they have the potential to. There's enough. Unfortunately, we've seen enough people rioting and stealing and looting and burning.
Yeah.
And if you take some of these major cities, we could we could see a Rodney King thing here in all these major cities, and like L.A. and Chicago's doing this on a daily basis anyway. But Atlanta, you can go to some of these major cities, and what if that element we're talking about right now, that element, that undesirable element, it doesn't relate to the blacks that we know, that they say we're not part of this. It's that other element I'm worried about.
You know, I take the temperature of my surroundings all the time down here in Texas. And to this day, after months and months and months of this contrived crap, I am seeing no difference in the way blacks are interacting with whites down here. There is none. If you didn't have the media coverage and you didn't know Black Lives Matter existed, you wouldn't know that there was anything going on. I'm telling you, Steve, I'm telling you, this thing is overhyped. Yeah. They're desperate. They're trying to do anything and everything that they can to derail the second presidency of Trump. But more importantly, Trump is, well, he's the obstacle to their wishes. But again, let me say
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I don't see it either. And just yesterday, we ran from Lowe's and we came back home and I had to tank up her car. And I said, go in and get me a soda. I was just so parched because I was out there in the hot heat and I needed some fluids. So we walked in together to get a drink. And an elderly, I'm going to say he's up there in age. He was older than I am and I'm in my 50s. Was exiting the service station there, and he obviously is a painter. He looked like he was a painter, a black gentleman, and he opened the door for us to let us in, and I said, thank you, sir, very much. And he smiled. He said, you have a wonderful day. And as we walked in, I looked at Michelle, and I said, you know, when I keep hearing about this systemic racism, it's just not there. I said, did you see how we just responded to each other? What a nice guy. He responded back to me, I just don't see this, what they keep telling us is there. And I get a little irritated when I hear people on the media, in the media talking heads picking it up also, because it is not there, John. Well, it is not there.
And
I don't treat people differently.
And Steve, the term that they're using, you just mentioned it, systemic racism, it's non-existent in this country.
Yeah.
You know, if we've got, 12% of the population that's black, tell me how Obama got elected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will admit a lot of people did that. Okay, well, let's give a black guy a chance here. You know, gosh, I'm feeling guilty about all this slavery stuff and everything else. So, boom, he's there.
Well, let's give a lot of black guys chances. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We got lots of prominent successful black men out there, and that could never be possible in the racist America that they claim is there.
And
it's not
Steve,
possible.
Thank you for bringing that up, because if we didn't have run the inner cities into the ground and let the place burn and gave real opportunity for people that wanted to get out of that environment, wanted the education, wanted the skills necessary to get that, who in the hell wants to live in a damn ghetto? Dodging bullets like they do on a regular basis in Chicago. I don't think we'd be having this conversation right now. Do you?
Right. No.
No.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Been thinking about this all day.
Uh-oh.
As we saw, a week or two ago, we saw David Icke in Trafalgar Square, London, mm-hmm. with the big giant rally there, the coming out rally against COVID-19. And I thought to myself, and I'm still seeing way too many people out there wearing the mask and the fear in their eyes. And I wrote this down to myself. I said, I'll have to ask John this question. But when the people do finally wake up, assuming that they will wake up and realize that they've been fooled and lied to that their lives were destroyed. They've lost their incomes. They lost their homes or cars. They've lost everything over a lie. How do you think they're going to respond here in America, John?
Like we do with any crisis, any world war we've been involved in, anything of great import, I think we'll act as we always have. The recognition of the wrongs done, our pledge never to let it happen again, and let's get back to living and working. You disagree?
Well, I'm hoping for a lot more than that. I would like to be more on the same line as the Europeans, going after the officials.
Ooh.
To remove them, maybe even prosecutions.
Oh.
There are a lot of people that need to go down for this scam.
Oh, no, no. If you're referring to that, the people like Bill Gates,
right?
George Soros,
Fauci,
all the rest of the clowns that have been pushing this plandemic, yeah, they need to be charged and they need to go to jail, that's for sure. But I think things are going to be a lot easier. If you listen to the last hour, my favorite question to Harley Schlanger, you know, what do you see happening? When Trump, he's going to take on the Fed. I'm not the only one of this opinion. And I regard Harley Schlanger and his opinion and his knowledge base. I think this is exactly what Donald Trump is going to do. And if he...
Well, you know... In this second term here, if he gets his second term, and I hope he does, you probably say, I can't believe Steve just said that. But if he does, because the alternative is really, really bad. But if he does get the second term, he is a lame duck president. You know what? I would have the attitude to go for it, to leave my legacy in a very positive way, to do everything I thought I wanted to do and actually carry it out. He could really make history here in the second term, John. You know, the first term, he was tied, his hands were tied quite a bit. Democrats were always coming after him. But this last time, he can't run a third time. So let's just say he goes for it and does it. I would love that.
I think Donald Trump realizes the support he has in his country. And I think it's been brought to his attention since all the retired generals have come out and slandered this guy. And Donald Trump, he's been to see the troops. He's talked with them. He knows where the support is. The rank and file in the military is behind Trump. The majority of people in this country are behind Trump. And by the way, they bear arms as well. Steve, I don't want to predict Armageddon for those treasonous ones. But I think at that point in time, they're going to be too busy trying to cover their own butts and run and hide. And there's not going to be a mount of, here's the second wave of our crap we're going to throw. I think many things are going to happen out of the Department of Justice. He's pretty much cleaned that out. I think you're going to see leeway to start to go after the criminals. We've slid so far in this country. We got a bunch of communists in the Senate and in the Congress. We've got a bunch of communists, obviously, in the state legislatures. But they're small by number. When the full force of this, when this comes to its pimply little head, and it's just dying to bust. Everybody got the visual, you know, the visual on that one? Yeah, it's going to be unpleasant, but for a short amount of time. Most people in this country want their lives back. They want their jobs back. They want their freedom back. They want this statecraft to stop. They want...
Well, you know, after John, the felonious lies of that article in The Atlantic saying Trump referred to the war dead in World War One as losers,
yeah,
and suckers.
Yeah.
I'm glad I know he never said that. I can tell you 100%, I know he did not say that. Now, they're coming out and saying they have four anonymous sources. Well, that's always spells out to me, four anonymous. If you're not willing to put your name on it, then it never happened. It's fraud. It's fake. But I'm glad he came out today and said what he said in the article that you posted on RBN website, that the wars, the generals, they all want to continue the war machine. They want endless war. And I think that was the right thing to say, because to be honest with you, I was in the military, and I think these troops across overseas are saying, can I come home? Can I come back stateside? Because I am so tired of this. They learned within their first 2 years or the four-year hitch, they're learning that they're not there defending this nation. They're actually there nation building, tearing down other countries, stealing resources, and they know it now, or guarding poppy fields. And they want to come home.
Yeah.
So I think he said the right thing. That was the right thing to say.
And it's come to light recently. Figures have been put on the dead in the Middle East. It's well over 2 million.
Yeah.
And why exactly was that done? There's a few remaining countries that still deal in oil with dollars. That's going to go bye-bye very quickly. So it's going to be a different world. And I'll tell you what. I'm sitting here staring at the caller screen. I had somebody that's been hanging on here forever. Let me go to the caller, Charles in St. Pete. Hello, Charles.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Yeah, do you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, John. Yeah, have you seen the new video, COVID-19, the musical? I put it, I've been sending out everywhere I could. I sent it to RBN's address. It's really funny and satirical, you know, everything we
Charles hearing. when you send something to another email other than johnstatmiller@hotmail.com, it might go to me by way of a different account and this, that, and the other. If you want me, folks, here's the announcement. Hello, America. johnstatmiller@hotmail.com. If you want to get my attention, you send it to my email. I get 300 junk emails every day and 1,500 emails in the regular account, but I go through the entire list every single day.
Okay. You know what Kennedy wanted to do with the money, you know, the non-interest-bearing money?
Yep.
His thing was to have an infrastructure bank, because I knew the economist in Tampa University that was his friend, and also a Harvard graduate, Carlos Wyman. That's Kennedy. Kennedy was going to fix up everything inside the United States, all the bridges and roads, with non-interest-bearing money as an end run around the Federal Reserve. That's the number one reason he was killed.
And Charles, thank you for saying that, because over the years, we still have the JFK assassination. We're still drawn to the grassy knoll. We're still drawn to, was there only one assassin, or possibly two?
Right.
But it's always the who, the what, the where, but never the why. And yeah, did he have some problems with the CIA? Yeah, I think he made the statement, I want to spread them to the four winds. CIA didn't like that, because the globalist order of things knew that they needed the intelligence agencies working overtime in this country to overthrow and keep in line politics for many years to come. But you're the only guy, Charles, that has called in on my program to agree with me. That's the number one reason why Kennedy was killed, is because he went up against the banks.
That's right.
Sure. Yeah, the LBJ and CIA and the military-industrial complex, all that's secondary in Israel.
And
yeah,
Israel?
Trying to get the atomic weapons, you know, and Kennedy was standing in the way.
Yep, just like Donald Trump's getting in the way. But you know what? Here we are 4 years. Kennedy didn't make it out his first term.
Did you know the area where he was assassinated is very symbolic?
Yeah, it's the reflecting pond. Yeah.
Well, I meant near the river there.
Hold on a second, Charles. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to put you on hold here. 800-313-9443. Folks, got anything to say? It's your country burning right now. We need to get it back. Got children? What are you going to lead them? What are you going to lead them? Churning urn of burning funk, or are you going to give them a chance?
We have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back. 800-313-9443. Charles in St. Pete, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I look, I'm in full agreement with you. That was a lesson that was taught to all the politicians and anybody that was paying attention. Oh, for what? Almost 60 years. That it's not nice to mess with the private banking cabal inside this country. Of which,
well,
go ahead.
Also, let me interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the CIA, Kennedy was, I'm hoping at least, or I'd like to believe that he was fooled by the CIA. The CIA deliberately set up the Cubans so they would be, you know, they withdrew all the American contingents. My friend George Davis, who was the grandson of the Ben T. Davis, who built the causeway, the Courtney Campbell Causeway, still Ben T. Davis Beach was his grandfather back during the Depression. He was a CIA agent. I used to know him. He's dead now, so I don't think you'll mind me telling about it. He was in the Keys training the Cubans with the Bay of Pigs, and he said, they're selling you out. Look how they're withdrawing the American contingents. Oh, no, senor. He good mucho catarico. Kennedy no sell us out. I hate to believe that Kennedy wasn't conscious of it. It was Alan Dulles or something. But you look at the history of the CIA, where it was created, where the Illuminati supposedly had its headquarters in 1790, according to Jedediah Morse, the Calvinistical Federalist preacher at that time. Just a coincidence, right? And the opium cartel, it was ran out of there, out of Yale University, and Skull and Bones. Just a coincidence. And it just happened to become the CIA University, where CIA agents, many of them become big shots in the CIA. Yeah, just all a coincidence.
Yeah. I've got a question. I've got a question for both of you. Thinking about JFK, the assassination. We've known that the deep state was back in our day. We used to call it the shadow government. Later on, now the new phrase is deep state. Do you think John and caller? Do you think that you think JFK was aware of the shadow government and the power, including that the deep state, the shadow government, included the intelligence community, and that they could actually turn against him and take him out? Do you think he ever thought that once through, that maybe the possibility that they could actually take him out, our own government, our own intelligence?
Charles, let me go first on that one. No bubble top.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
No bubble top. No, he asked a question of both of us. I'll let you answer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no bubble top on the presidential limo down at the reflecting pond in Dealey Plaza. Does that answer your question?
Okay. And yeah. Charles, your question, your answer, Charles.
I'd like to hope that John Kennedy was not in on this. He wasn't one of the Illuminati, himself, or he was unconscious about this as being misled. But then again, you look at his father, Joe Kennedy. Where was Joe Kennedy in 1933? He was helping Franklin Roosevelt get control of all the hard liquor on the East Coast of the United States when Franklin Roosevelt was elected president of the United States. I had a friend of mine.
Yeah, but Charles, but one could say that that's just protecting your business interests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you both ever heard of Karen Kupiset? That name ring a bell? Karen
No,
Kupiset.
Never heard of it.
No.
You had to look this up. This is a little theory that I had, that Karen Kupiset was the daughter. She was an actress. She was murdered at the age of, I think, 20 or 22. And her father was a very prominent journalist for, I believe, Cincinnati, one of the Cincinnati papers. He'd actually written some articles saying that he believed that the Warren Commission was a whitewash, a cover-up for really what actually happened. And I do believe they took revenge on him through his daughter and killed his daughter. Her name is Karen Kupiset. It was never solved, the murder, but there's definitely a tie in there to his daughter, to the journalist himself, and writing what he thought about the Warren Commission. Look that up sometime. Karen Kupiset murder. I got a funny suspicion. They silenced him through killing her, just to send a message. That's typical mafia style to do that.
Well, he did stop.
Yeah, he did stop writing
Joe
about
Kennedy
it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Joe Kennedy definitely was one of Mr. Big that transmitted money from the people in Europe, people in Scotland, the liquor cartels.
Sure.
He was involved in the bank holiday, creating that, and according to a book anyway, it's called The Wall Street Jungle.
Charles, we're up on a break, and I can't skip another one. I thank you very much for your call. Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm just an average man with an average life. I work from 9 to 5. I pay the price. All I want is to be left alone in my average home. But why do I always feel like I'm in the twilight zone? And I always feel like somebody's watching me.
This article was written on the 2nd of September by Paul Bryan and Arthur Bloom. What they're talking about is another opinion columnist pushing war with Iran, who doesn't actually exist. Phony opposition. And it's called the MEX, disinformation primarily targeted right-of-center outlets receptive to a hawkish line against Iran. Maryam Rajavi, the president-elect of the National Council of Resistance of Iran, holds a statement signed by 31 U.S. dignitaries and former officials in support of the NCRI and its fight for freedom in Iran on July 17th of this year. In Ashraf, Albania, Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, one of the signatories, presents it to Ms. Rajavi. And the story goes as follows. There's at least one more foreign policy opinion writer from the Mujahideen El-Khalik, or MEK, whose existence, let's just say, is highly dubious. Based on a study by social media analysts and statements from a defector from the group, Amir Bashiri, that's B-A-S-I-R-I, who contributed to Forbes 9 times, the Washington Examiner 52 times, Open Democracy, Al Jazeera, and The Hill, once also appears to be a fabrication. The MEK, I'll get this out, is an Iranian exile group from which John Bolton, Rudy Giuliani, and other foreign policy luminaries have given paid speeches. Democrats like Joe Lieberman, Howard Dean, has all also spoken on their behalf, but the group has American blood on its hands, has been accused of practicing forced sterilization, and their belief system has been described as a mixture of Marxism and Islamicism. Its supporters claim that they and their front group, the National Council of Resistance of Iran, are a sort of government in exile despite nearly non-existent support for the group within Iran. That's the friendly opposition to you and I, folks. They also have waged a substantial disinformation campaign in the Western press, particularly targeting conservative media. Now, that complete story, check it out, folks, and put file that away for future reference, because what we're going to discover here, Mr. Keene, the general that Fox News always brings up, the putty-nosed, blue-eyed ex-general that comes up, and, he's always pushing for military intervention somewhere or another. I don't care if it's China, North Korea, Iran, the Middle East, it doesn't matter. Folks, I hope people are starting to learn, Steve, that Fox News is, they're as wily as a fox. And I've caught them in so many lies. You know, yesterday I watched Sean Hannity and do an interview about his book. And I'm watching Mark Levine do the interview. And they're buddies. They have long conversations about the state we find ourselves in. And I'm watching this interview, and I'm thinking to myself, how much do you have to pay somebody to really not talk about some of the core and major problems we have in this country? And the whole time, Steve, I was watching that interview, I'm thinking to myself, gee, Sean, why have you not come out against the drug companies? Why have you not come out against the phony COVID-19 plandemic? Why have you not come out against the unconstitutional private banks in this country? Why? It would be the end.
I thought the same thing. I've always thought the same thing, Hannity.
Yeah, that's why I didn't shake his hand at the Republican National Convention back in 2004 up in New York.
I noticed last week, and I was shocked at this. Now, this really surprised me that they have their talking heads, every network does, but Fox has brought on as a talking head a contributor, Donna Brazile.
Oh, God.
I kid you not. I'm like, now, isn't this the woman that was feeding the questions and the answers, or at least the questions to Hillary Rodham Clinton for the debates? Yes. She was caught. She's a cheater, and Fox has brought her on board to be a contributor. I thought that was terrible.
Fair and balanced, it could mean many different things. That's why they have Juan Williams on Fox as well. And this guy is a stone-cold communist retread from public broadcasting. You know, to be fair and balanced, you've got to give the opposing view, even though that you know it's absolute tripe and crap.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're fair and balanced. Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
How y'all doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Good. Yeah, first our guest is very interesting, and I'm going to bring up something. I'm not attacking him at all, because his points that he made, you know, overall were excellent. I like him. He's having
fun. Yeah, but you're going to pick fly crap out of the sugar bowl. Go ahead.
Well, and hopefully make a bigger point, okay? Something we should consider. You know, he brought up the Ukraine and the neo-Nazis that were kind of used as political pawns to deliver, you know, they delivered that country to Victoria Nuland, you know, who's absolutely Jewish, and you know, and they played a psyop that, because the Ukrainians had a beef about the Holodomor, you know, and there was plenty of Soviet oppression and brutality visited upon them, you know, so they played upon that just like they play upon the blacks and their history in this country, and then they play up on the whites too. You know, I believe Charlottesville was a setup. And you know, how do we stop this? They must have a core group of psychiatrists and sociologists and et cetera who just know how to play the public, you know, and get them inflamed and for their own end.
Yeah,
you know,
that little group has a name. CIA.
Well, they have an evil, called an evil think tank is what I call it.
CIA.
Yeah. CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Okay, that's all I had.
Okay. All right, Bruce. Thomas in Florida. Hello, Thomas.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I would like to go back to what you were talking about before concerning the Federal Reserve and the money. And basically, you know, you said, and it's correct, once you straighten the money system out, you know, it's certainly going to go a long way to healing what's happened to the country. And I'm just sort of throwing this out there. I'd like other people to think about it and offer up, because I'm not saying this is the absolute solution, but it's one of those things where you sit around and you think, and you go, well, what would actually happen if, in our money situation in the country, obviously we got to get rid of the Fed, nothing but, I always say, it's just a big credit card that was issued to the country in 1913, and, you know, buy now, pay later, and like anybody,
actually, it
turned into a disaster.
Bruce, I'm sorry, Thomas, you're exactly right, but that was a card that had a limit on it. Richard Nixon, that claimed he wasn't a crook, was probably a bigger crook than most people realize, because here's the guy that shut the gold window, that gave the credit people carte blanche, just opened the entire country up to their debauchery and interest.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. It's alchemy, because when you can just print an unlimited amount of money, it's got no basis in what we normally consider money, which is something which is of substance. There's a limited amount, and you can't create it. So what I was thinking of is, and again, I'm looking for opinions. What do you think would happen if, either through franchise or as in the original Coinage Act of 1792, we were to mint and possibly print real silver quarters, real silver dimes, maybe even do a silver nickel, even though it wasn't, silver 50-cent pieces as dollars, mm-hmm. and then, of course, the bearer instrument, which would be paper, but you could immediately reassure yourself you went to a bank, you pushed it over to the teller and say, no, give me the real thing, mm-hmm. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. What would happen if that was launched in parallel? No, we would have two money systems. We would have, ironically enough, we would call the silver stuff the new money. Americans would have a choice as to whether they wanted to buy a gallon of gas for 25 cents new money or pay the, you know, $2-3 of the, I guess we'd call that the old money.
Yeah.
And since everybody would be having a choice as to which one they would deal in, everybody would have a free choice. No, it's free market. It's Mr. Market. And obviously silver and gold, we'd do gold, they would probably start to increase in value. And when it increased in value, I'm thinking, well, prices would go down. We would actually maybe end up with a loaf of bread for 5 cents,
no,
silver cents.
No, Thomas. Thomas, I follow what you're saying, but there's a little problem with that. Number one, why would you want to have a funny money competing currency against something that you're saying should be real? But here's the other problem: how are you going to take all that debt and then assign a value to it by way of gold and silver?
You wouldn't. The debt would always exist in the phony money they print. It would probably inflate itself to zero, and basically the good money would drive out the bad money. People would make a choice. It might even reach a point where you go back to, maybe we'd have copper also. Maybe you'd be able to get two loaves of bread for a penny.
Yeah.
Maybe a house, you know, if the value of it went up, that would take care of your supply. In other words, they always say, not enough silver, not enough gold.
Yeah.
Yes, there would be. If prices went high enough, if one dime would buy you a bicycle.
Yeah. Well,
you see what I'm saying?
No. Thomas, I see where you're going.
Think about it. I haven't thought it through myself all the way. I'm just asking other people to think about it, too. Would it be a system?
Yeah, it'd be a system, but why don't you just throw in cryptocurrency and give them a third choice or a fourth choice?
Well, everybody would do that.
Oh, Thomas.
In the end, well, don't you think he's still kind of confused on this, you guys?
Are you saying that the new currency
It wouldn't be currency. Aside, be
Thomas, would you currency. Let the man speak? I will give you as much time as you need. Let the man speak.
This is a question. This is a question of the caller. So you're saying that the new currency, going with the new currency, would erase the national debt completely?
Be two separate systems.
It so wait a minute. Who's going to walk away? We got to talk about the reset, the debt itself. The debt exists. So until we decide to say we nullify that and get rid of the total national debt, you can't go to a new currency, a new way of doing things until you erase this and start over fresh, correct?
Well, perhaps that system would go bankrupt and it would be a jubilee, and you basically say, yeah, you can have all the money you want. We'll print it for you here. Take it.
Okay.
And everybody would transition back to the real money.
But why,
gold.
But Thomas, why do you want to run that exercise? You know, this isn't politics. You get a choice from column A, the Republicans, or column B, the Democrats, or maybe you want to go independent. Why, with something as constitutional as an intrinsic value, no pun intended, that's the basis for everything that we do in this country, why would you leave a choice? Why would you leave that out there?
Because that's what the market is. Everybody makes a choice, and it basically takes care of itself.
Based on what? Bad choice versus good choice?
Yeah, if you made a bad choice and you wanted to stick with the paper money, you'd probably find that it was inflating away.
Okay.
If you made a good choice and purchased gold and silver, you'd say, I'll be
Thomas, darned. I've been covering this for 30 years. Please, give this more thought. Now, I've already thought about it. I'm giving you the answers, and you're not listening.
The founding fathers, it was their system. They didn't own the money. All they did was set up the mints to verify quality and
which was
weight
gold
and
silver and copper.
Yes, that's what I just said. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, but did the founders go, okay, we had a problem here with jolly old England. We don't want their funny money. That's what was at the root of this. It was the interest on the funny money that this is why we went to war in the first place and broke off from England. Did they give everybody a choice then?
Well, no, but I'm just saying you have a choice.
Okay.
If you took
All right.
You could literally find that you could buy a house for 5 ounces of gold, or you could run around trying to earn
gold. Hold on here. No.
What?
You couldn't buy a house with 3 or 5 or 10 ounces of gold, because remember, gold at one time was only worth $35 an ounce. That's before they inflated the hell out of their funny money brought on by the Federal Reserve. So to do a reset on that one is an exercise. I would call that, Thomas, I'm not trying to be mean, but that's a mental masturbation exercise.
That would reset your gold value also. You wouldn't stay at the height where we are now. You would simply go way back. I agree with John on that. Yeah.
Well, nobody would set the price of gold except Mr. Market. I'm saying gold could go to $50,000 an ounce. It could go to $100,000. It would take care of all of the amount of money needed for transactions. I mean, it would be basically a totally free market situation. I have no idea how valuable it gets.
You're conflating free market with money that is being manipulated.
Well, you can't manipulate gold because you can't make it.
Yeah, but you just said let the market decide what it's going to be worth. That's not how it works. You set a value, and this is done worldwide. This is why gold and silver trades at a certain value, even though it's suppressed worldwide. They all trade on the value of that.
Yeah, but we don't use it as commerce. What I'm saying is, if it came into the use of commerce, it would seek its own value. No one could control it, unless, of course, it got manipulated. Hopefully,
sure, it could be controlled. You're talking about supply and demand here. If you got a ton of gold out there, it's not going to be worth $50,000 an ounce. How could you possibly do that? It'd have to be in short supply to have that kind of value.
Have you read Ed Griffin's book, Creature from Jekyll Island?
Uh-huh.
You have?
Yeah, I've gone through it. Yeah, right. I'm familiar with it.
You've gone through it. I would suggest
He doesn't address this. He doesn't address this in his book. Doesn't address people going back to gold and silver.
You know, I'll tell you what.
It would work.
I spent 4 days with Ed Griffin on our little trip down to Jekyll Island. And
I was there.
I'm sorry?
I was there. I was sitting next to Ed Griffin. with my son.
You were sitting next to Ed Griffith.
Yeah, I talked to you there. I talked to you there at the meeting. Okay. Don't you remember me?
No. Yeah, right.
I was with the Georgia boys out front, and you walked by, and we had a brief conversation.
Okay. No, I can't say that I remember that, Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But when...
No, but what I'm just saying is, I mean, think. I'm asking other people to think about it. I'm just saying what originally worked for our founding fathers.
What? You owning... keep saying... Wait, hold, stop. You keep saying it worked for our founding fathers. What worked for our founding fathers? Competing currencies? There weren't any. Not really.
No, they didn't own the money. They set up the mints just to basically to create recognizability, reliability, purity, and weight. They never owned our money. That's a new concept of the government prints it and owns it. The people own the money. If it's in your pocket, you own it. If the government happens to get some of it through taxation, obviously they own it.
Okay. Thomas,
it's a different...
Thomas, All right, Thomas, I appreciate your call, man. Thank you.
Think about it.
Yeah, think about it. Let me see.
The debate that would never end.
Oh, geez. You know, he's trying to tell me that Ed Griffin has never said that, you know, currencies should be backed by gold and silver. I beg to differ with you. Yeah, I really do. I know Ed well enough that I think I can make that statement on his behalf. He's not a fool. And did we have a competing currency? Not really, because we had the English pound while we were still a colony of England. When the Revolution happened... That was cast aside. And he is correct that, yeah, the purity and all that, they didn't own the money. We owned the money. They just simply set the value thereof in units, well, 29 grams for silver an ounce. And yeah, well, that's the problem we're having right now. We don't own that money. It's the property of the Federal Reserve. And I'll agree with him up until that point. But his suggestion here to run competing currencies for what? To let half the country hang themselves with funny money? No, I'm all for replacing the funny money and getting rid of these gangster banksters. Enough. Competing currencies. John in Michigan. Competing. John, go ahead. I'm running out of time here. Go ahead, John.
I'll make it quick. Education is... an important part of getting this point across about usury, and that's one thing that would help if people understood that. But you were talking about Fox News, and I don't know if you realize that or know that Walt Disney bought Fox News. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, well, it wasn't Walt Disney. It was the Disney Corporation.
Right, so you can understand why the people that you're talking about are on board there.
I almost said a bad word on air.
Well, I probably heard it before.
Well, but who plays the part of Goofy here?
Well, the only person that I might have any that comfort with is Tucker Carlson. And sometimes Laura Ingraham, but they're all compromised if they're not exposing what's going on.
Well, and here's the choice, John, they've been given. And you know this as well as I do. Hey, look, Ingraham and Carlson, you guys can stick around, but here's a subject matter you're never going to tackle.
Right.
Okay? And Sean Hannity gets his $31 million plus a year. You can have your job, Sean, but here's the subject matter that's taboo that you can't touch. You can talk about anything else you want to.
I agree.
You know?
And it's, but we have at least your outlet, and then that's pretty much one of the best out there for information.
Well,
I appreciate you and
a little tease here again, folks. The Liberty Beacon Project is moving along. It's had its setbacks a couple of times here, but it is on track. And things are going to change here in the very near future. The voice is going to get bigger and louder. So, John, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
God bless you both.
All right, sir. Pat in Fort Worth. Hello, Pat.
Hey, I remember a guy named Charles Collins who ran for president. on the internet, he won. But, of course, the Republicans wouldn't even let him talk at all.
Oh, I remember Collins, yeah.
He wanted to monetize the debt. He wanted to make one big coin, roll it down, and pay off the Federal Reserve.
Well, and you know, when you think about that, Pat, you know, why couldn't it be done? Because this is fiat they've given us. They have used that privately owned corporate money to buy all of what's worth buying out there.
Yeah.
And so how do you retire the funny money people? I'm with you. You can make out a $100 trillion bill if you wanted to. I don't know how you'd fit all the zeros on the bill, but maybe the bill doesn't have to be the size of our current currency. It could just be as big as a room. And then you could fit all those zeros on there. You can pay them off. Pay them off with coffee beans. I don't care. That's got an intrinsic value.
Yeah.
But no president.
Corner Jack's still in a law, right?
But, Pat, the only president to ever go against the bankers was the guy we were discussing, old JFK.
Well, you know, he had other sins, okay? You can't be having a woman going in and backdooring out like a revolving door and have the will of God on your side.
That was just for back rubs. He had a bad back. Pat, you know, hey, look, I know what you're saying. You know, look, I can very easily jump there as well. You know, and I've said this before, Pat.
Go ahead and jump.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead and jump.
Go ahead and jump. The complete and general disarmament in a peaceful world. I don't think John F. Kennedy really knew what he was signing on to.
Oh, no.
What?
No, he gave away Turkey, too. Remember? He gave away Turkey. Well, I'll let you go because you got to, you know, I just wanted to say that.
Okay. All right.
I knew Charles Collins. He was a good guy.
I knew Charles as well. I had him on the air many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We took a book out of school that made the book of bad books. He's not a dummy. He was a senator or something in Tallahassee for Florida.
You know, I mean, take a look at what happened to the Constitution Party. You know, any time a third party pops up...
I got my opinions on that, too.
I'm sorry?
I have my opinions on that one, too, but we don't have time for that today.
Okay. All right, Pat. All right. Thanks for your call. You know, what's the worst part of you, Steve? What's the worst part of me? Nope. Well, let's talk about our worst parts here. You know, why don't we just...
Our thresholds.
Yes, our thresholds. I know what Pat's doing, and, you know, it might be good for a yuck-yuck. I don't think there's anybody on this planet that doesn't know that Marilyn Monroe slept with John F. Kennedy. Okay, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't know that.
I think with both, actually, both brothers, I believe. Correct? I'm pretty sure.
God.
That was revealed.
Is he in cahoots with Pat here?
And I didn't read that in the National Enquirer.
All right, my friend. Hey, I appreciate you coming on today. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. And that'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. Please support this network. You heard John in Michigan, one of the last Mohicans. Do not let us go by the way of Indians. The Washington football team, no longer the Redskins. We'll see you tomorrow.
Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.